The part about Deshaun I thought was interesting in there, but I also think the future, the way you look at it, was interesting too.
I agree with you. I think it's really interesting. There's a lot to unpack here in the last 10 games, I think, especially before the trade deadline. You know, I think the quarterback thought is interesting, Andy. I think the thought about do you gut the roster and try and get draft picks? I loved your answer on this.
I agree with her completely.
You don't do that.
It bothers me to think that you would want to trade Denzel Ward or you'd want to trade Myles Garrett because you just don't get players like that.
Nope.
It's hard to get those kind of players. And I do understand the notion of maybe it isn't better for you to win down the road because of the way the draft's set up. I understand that. I totally get it. But you know what? If they do their job right, they should be able to draft players with the natural picks that they have right now. They've got a first rounder this year. They've got a second rounder. As of right now, they have 2 third rounders because they picked up the one from the Bills for Amari Cooper. Brilliant. They have a fourth rounder. The fifth rounder's gone because of Za'Darius Smith. They have a sixth rounder. They ended up, I think they have 2 6 rounds coming up next year too. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at 2026. Everything looks right there. You know, it's just, they have the picks. If the scouting department and the front office do the job the right way, they should be able to replenish through the draft in some ways. It just hasn't played out that way. So if you're thinking about letting these guys go in a fire sale, you better make sure you're getting a quality high round draft pick if you can get them. It's too hard to rebuild. And I know people want to talk about age, but her point about the Steelers I thought was dead on and correct. All right, let's hear from you because I know a lot of you want to talk. Let's go to Stefan in Cleveland next. Hey, Stefan, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got three quick points. First, I want to say this. I just heard Mary Kay Cabot, what she said about Deshaun Watson, how things were clicking before he got injured, and the game before where we were getting ready to score, but we got stopped by two offside penalties. Deshaun Watson has the ability to be a good quarterback. It's still there. I don't think that this is the last we've seen of him in Cleveland. I honestly believe that there's a good chance that Deshaun Watson could be the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback come next year, just off of the simple fact if you don't see anybody else out there that's better, why give Deshaun Watson up? Number two,
I'd agree,
I don't necessarily think that the problem is all the way Kevin Stefanski. I honestly believe that we need a better offensive coordinator and play caller. Because I do believe that Kevin Stefanski needs to give up play calling. And then my third point is, I'm all for not blowing up the whole house just simply because we have a bad season this year. I mean, let's be real about this now. It's the Cleveland Browns. You cannot go into the season thinking always that the Cleveland Browns are going to end up in the Super Bowl or we're going to be in the playoffs. Last year, nobody expected us to be in the playoffs. We just happen to make things work with Joe Flacco. I just think that there's a lot of fans that's always still heard about Baker Mayfield. That's what I honestly think. And then as far as the booing,
Do you think they're also heard about Joe Flacco too?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I definitely think that they're heard about Joe Flacco. But also when it comes down to the booing aspect of things. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but my argument is this: if it was your son out there on the field, you would feel some type of way.
Oh, I know exactly. I'd be furious, yeah. Absolutely furious, yeah. And I've been there before.
Yeah, so that's just my take. You know, I think that we should keep things, the pieces that we need and. See what we can get out of Deshaun Watson. I mean, let's be real about that. I don't believe that Jimmy Haslam was willing to give up that much money to only have Deshaun Watson play what, how many
less
games
than seven games in 3 seasons each year. Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. Exactly. All right, yeah, Stephen, thank you. We appreciate your phone call. 216-474-0092. And he is so right about that if it was your kid thing. I get that. And I think that's why most people have common sense when they're standing. I mean, look, can we face it? Probably most of the folks that were cheering for him after the injury were probably, well lubricated by 9:30 in the morning. I just don't. I think if you're stone cold sober, you don't do that. You're just not doing that.
Some people would. Most people wouldn't.
And the other thing is, let's not also forget there were fans. I was told yesterday a couple times that I had friends that were sitting in sections where nobody was doing that. And then I had one of my buddies text me. He goes, "Yeah, we had somebody in our section that was stood up and started to cheer, and the entire section just they chastised him and they said, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's not right.'" And the hard part is, you get a couple knuckleheads in there that are doing that, and now all of a sudden it's a reflection of us. It's all of us. I mean, we don't want to be a part of that. We just don't. And, we're sitting here 24 hours later, 48 hours later, talking about this, still about a couple of knuckleheads, because we feel like that's a horrible reflection on our city, and that's not who we are. And we all know it. And we also know that time will heal this. I mean, the only time that I can really think about fans that are like, ooh, we think about that, is the line that says, well, they boo Santa Claus in Philadelphia, right?
Okay. Santa wasn't hurt.
Well, that's true. Santa wasn't. Although, never mind. Cleveland is in Cleveland. Hi, Cleveland.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, man.
Yep. I just wanted to say a few things. I looked at Joe Flacco, what he did last year, and he and Jameis Winston had the same kind of history problem, and that was throwing interceptions. Is that correct?
Jameis had one really bad year with interceptions.
But that was also a really good year passing-wise, right? That was the 5,000
yards. 5,000 yards, 30-some touchdown passes, 30 interceptions.
If you're going to take the chances and get all those yards, that means that there's some risk involved, mm-hmm. and you're going to throw interceptions. It's part of life.
Yeah, and this year, aren't the quarterbacks throwing a lot of interceptions, even your good ones?
Probably not on a pace to throw 30.
Okay, well, I'm just saying they do throw them. But
yeah, and it's part of the game. Guys throw interceptions all the time.
Yeah, so I think that, having Jameis Winston would be a good idea to just throw. I don't care if we get intercepted. I don't want to get rid of guys or anything. I just want to see some balls being thrown down the field, and maybe we take our chances to win a game.
Cleveland, good one. Go ahead.
And then the other thing I wanted to say was, how do you defer when guys are hurt on the field and they get up or they're taken off the field or whatever? Don't you cheer?
Yes.
The player got back up. So how do you know whether it was cheering for him hurt or cheering because he's getting up? And
I think the bigger part of this, Cleveland, and I agree with you, and Mary Kay just brought this up too, it was the vocal fans that were cheering loudly about the fact that he wasn't going to be returning to the game. I think that's the part that the players heard. And I'll be honest, I mean, I'd be upset too if I was a player, but I just, at some point, you can't sit there and sound like you're pointing the finger at the fans for not being frustrated over the fact. Like, there's a couple lines here, and the line was crossed by anybody that opened their mouth and said something while they were standing and cheering. As I saw video of that too. Like, come on, sit down. Shut up. There's no reason to cheer an injury, ever. It doesn't matter whose team it is. Thank you, Cleveland. And I feel like a broken record saying this. And the problem is I'm saying this to fans that know that. They know it. They don't need me to tell you that. They don't. We have pretty smart fans in this town, and when you get a few vocals that are now representing everybody, I think we're all embarrassed by them, and we're also, sitting here trying to defend our city again, as we always seem to be doing, Cleveland against the world. Bill in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Hey, always a great program, you guys.
Thank you.
First off, I'm always the last person that recommends this, but I would like to see the general manager and the head coach go. They've had their chance to do what they need to do. They don't build a winning culture. You find that when you saw what Detroit did with Dan Campbell in that situation, it happened instantly. It happened quickly. And there was a culture that's put in. The culture that we've seen with Stefanski and Barry is, we'd be happy if we just make the playoffs. You know? We made one. In one game. Isn't that great, you guys? And all this mumbo jumbo that Stefanski talks about at these, that has to go.
We made two, and Detroit went plenty of years without winning seasons.
I know, but how long did Dan Campbell?
Campbell turned it around quickly.
No, he did it quick. They got a coach that did it.
Yep. Yeah, that was my point.
Okay, I see.
That was my point.
All right.
And that's my point. My concern is that this is going to continue. This needs to change. Do they do a poor job drafting? They do a poor job in picking coaches. This line coach they have right now, we see right now what a great coach does and what a poor coach does. This is awful when you have a mediocre to poor coach. Well, guess what? We've had a mediocre to poor coach as an offensive coordinator. And that's why we have not had anything happen. So this has to change. This thing about what happened on Sunday, I took it as a deeper than just booing him, which I think was awful, if that's what you thought. I saw it as frustration with this organization. I saw it as frustration with the fact that, and I hope, this is my own opinion, I hope Watson doesn't. He's $50 million. He's not worth $50 million. And he's not worth $50 million to wait to come back. They need to move on. They need to find a new coach, a new general manager, a new system, and they need to change. Now, who would that be? It needs to be a coach that has some years on him and has in the past been a winner. And we also need a general manager that's been through it. And we don't need young guys that have done it for the first time. Because I think what we saw with Barry is they always hire a young guy like Stefanski that doesn't challenge him, that doesn't try to take over the organization and help with that.
Bill, we got to go. Sorry about that. I know a guy that did challenge him, and he's going to join us coming up a little bit later in the show. That's Greg Williams. So looking forward to talking to him. Anthony Castrovince joining us at noon. We'll continue talking about the Browns. I still want to talk about some of the things that Mary Kay had to say.